This is the Sue Free Show, talking about life, relationships, and achieving.
Do you wonder why you have to feel the things that hurt you? If there's a God who loves you, where is he now? Would you dare to believe that you still have a reason to sing? Cause the pain that you've been feeling, it can't compare to the joy that's coming. So hold on, you gotta wait for the light. Press on and just fight the good fight. Cause the pain that you've been feeling, it's just the dark before the morning.
Here's your host, Sue Freeze.
I am so thankful to be back here today, and I just want to tell you that it took a lot for me to get here today. I actually had to pull Melissa, somebody that you've heard me talk about many, many times on the radio, but I had to pull her out of the E-Cola lifestyle for a couple of hours because I don't know if you know, but I had eye surgery, and I mentioned this a while ago, and I thought it was going to be a simple eye surgery. I thought it was going to be like LASIK, you know, where you go in and I see people come back 2 days later and they're back to work. And the doctor, when he looked at my eye and we discussed things, he said, you know, you need to take 2 weeks off. And I thought he was joking, you know, 2 weeks, are you kidding me? And so, you know, I stayed home for the weekend and took some Norco, which is a narcotic, which I don't take things, not even aspirin, not Tylenol, nothing. I'm just not into taking anything. But when I had my leg accident, I actually had to because of the pain. And, you know, I had to. So anyway, I did take it because I needed to sleep. I needed to just close my eyes and rest, which is not easy for me to do. I'm not a sit still kind of person. And so, but I did. I did it. And when I was scheduling the eye surgery and everything, there are certain things that you have to prepare for. One of the things is, okay, I'm having eye surgery, therefore, so I'm not going to be able to see to drive home. So I needed to have somebody drive me to have the surgery. So I talked to a friend of mine, and that friend said, yes, I will be there. And then a week before the surgery, after I'd turned everybody else down that was offering to do it, this person said, oh my gosh, I forgot. I can't make it. I've got this going and that going. And so that person became not dependable for that day. And I'm thinking, okay, I turned everybody else down already. Gee, I'm running out of time. I better get on this right away. And so I called my son, my lovely son, Tyson, who we just got done writing a book, Learning to Breathe. And I asked him, I said, hey, Tyson, what are you doing on this day, this time? Is there any way? And it just so happened that he had gotten injured. And so he was available because he wasn't busy. And so he actually was the one that came through and drove me to the hospital. And he was on time. And I was really worried about being on time. And he showed up right on time. So he was dependable. I could depend on him. And by asking him to do it, I could trust that he would be there and he would be dependable. So I had the surgery, and he did not want to stand around, even though I was in the waiting room waiting for my turn to go into surgery for like 4 hours. I get up at 4 a.m. to be there on time, and then I didn't go into surgery until 11 o'clock, and that was kind of hard for me to lay there for that time, too. And I said, go ahead, Tyson, you can go and just meet me. They said that I'd be ready around noon or something, but it was a little longer than that. Anyway, so he was there to pick me up, and, you know, I was still kind of drugged out and everything, so I didn't feel anything. But I get home and he drops me off. He didn't realize that I really shouldn't have been dropped off, that he really should have stayed, and he left me. So I was home alone and, you know, with not being able to see and kind of drugged out. And he didn't know any different, but it became that I didn't have anybody there to depend on, rely on, or anything. And so I had another friend call and say, are you okay? And I'm like, well, not really, because, you know, I can't really, like, make any food for me. And, you know, I haven't eaten since yesterday, because when you have surgery, you can't eat. And so I was getting kind of hungry. So this person came over with some food and made me a meal and just stayed there while I slept. So that was somebody that I could what? Rely on or depend on? So the reason I'm bringing all this up is not because I want to tell my story, but to preface this show on the fact that what's more important, trust, dependable, reliable. And I asked myself this question, is dependability and reliability the same thing? I thought, is there a difference between reliability and dependability? And can somebody be trustworthy? Can you trust somebody but not depend on them? And that's a really big question. And I don't know if you're asking yourself that, because I found that there were certain people I could trust, like the person that originally said, yes, I can do it, but not that person I trust with a lot of things, but I couldn't depend on him during this time. And then another person who I could depend on, maybe I can't trust. So it was very interesting. And because I was going through this, I was thinking, wow, that's really interesting. I had never really thought about that. Can you trust somebody and not depend on them, and vice versa? And is dependability and reliability the same thing? If you're just tuning in, you are listening to The Sue Freeze Show on our flagship station, 99.5 KKLA. I really appreciate it. And we are syndicated. We go all the way up and down the coast. And I'm so thankful, and it's amazing to me. This show has been going for 4 years now. And if it's new to you, I just want to tell you that every show is different. I talk about different subjects. I have people on with different ministries. So there's always something for anyone that turns on to the station. And I know that when you tune in, that it's not any other reason than God has something to give you. There's a gift that God has, and it's whether you want to receive or not. And I love that, because I pray for him to guide my words and guide my thoughts so that I can be used to speak to you. And I know that that's happening. I believe that that's happening. And so I don't know where you are in life. I don't know what's happening in your life. All I know is that this question of who can you trust in your life? Who is trustworthy? Who are people that you would trust your life with? If you had to pick a person, now this is a tough one. When I was in the hospital, they asked me the question, if something went awry, because, you know, you go under anesthesia and, you know, things happen, you know, it's kind of scary. But I had to sign a paper that told them who had the right to turn off the switch if I needed to turn off the switch. Okay, now that's somebody you got to trust, right? That's somebody really important that you've got to trust. Okay, so I had to pick that person. And I know who that person is, and I love her dearly. Then, you know, the question about, you know, who's going to drive me to and fro, and who can I make sure is going to be there on time, get me to where I need to go, and bring me home and make sure that I'm not going to fall and flat on my face and be alone. You know, all of these things are so, so important. So I'm going to ask you, do you know who you can trust in your life, the relationships that you have that you can trust these people? Then do you know who you can depend on? And do you believe dependability and reliability are the same? So I did some research. So the trust equation, I'm just going to read this to you. When we think of trust and what it means, we quickly realize it encompasses many things. We use the word trust to interpret what people say. You know, we're trusting that what they say is true, right? Hopefully they're saying what's true. But I know people that exaggerate, beyond exaggerate, because they want to make a point. Right? But that's not, you can't trust that, because you don't know where exaggeration begins and where it ends. I would much rather people just say things straight, wouldn't you? Describe behaviors, trust behaviors. Decide if we feel comfortable sharing information. So when you trust somebody, is this person somebody that you could trust that the information's not going to get out? Or in my case, there's times when I want something to get out and I know who to get that out. I know who I can tell that I know within minutes it's going to be all over the place. But you got to know who those people are in your life that you can trust, that you know that you can tell them something very, very vulnerable, very, you know, very serious, that you know that they're going to hold that dear to their heart as if it was their own situation, right? Indicate whether we feel other people have our interests at heart. That's a trust equation, right? Who is it that's going to hold your interest to the best? I have people working for me, someone in this room actually with me right now, that I trust. I know that she has my best interests at heart. I know that she looks out for me. She's a lot younger than me, but I know that she has my interests at heart. And I love this girl because she's proven it over and over again, that she is somebody I can trust and depend on to guard and protect. Even if I'm not in the room, she's going to back me up. Do you have people in your life that are that for you? If not, I would make that a situation where you're looking for those people and you're interviewing for those types of positions in your life, because you want to have those people around you. Because if you don't have them, you're out there solo. Do you want to be solo? I don't want to be solo. I want to have people around me that I can depend on, that I can rely on, and that are trustworthy. The four variables. The trust equation uses four objective variables to measure trustworthiness. Are you ready? These four variables are best described as credibility, reliability, intimacy, and self-orientation. We combine these variables into the following equation. Credibility plus reliability plus intimacy. Self-orientation equals trustworthiness. Let's dig into each variable a bit more, shall we? Credibility. This has to do with the words we speak. In a sentence, we might say, I can trust what she says about intellectual property. She's very credible on the subject. She's credible, meaning that what she says is, or he says, doesn't matter. So we have people that are credible. Now, that wouldn't be somebody that exaggerates. That's not as credible, is it? And when you find that somebody's exaggerating, then you got to wonder where that is. Reliability has to do with actions. So we've got credibility as words spoken, right? And are they credible with their words? Reliability has to do with actions. We might say, if he says he'll deliver the product tomorrow, I trust him because he's dependable, right? So that's reliability, and they're putting dependability in there. But I think there's a chance, and I think there's a thing where reliability and dependability aren't exactly the same. But I'm going to ask you what you think. Intimacy. Intimacy refers to the safety or security that we feel when entrusting someone with something. We might say, I can trust her with that information. She's never violated my confidentiality before, and she would never embarrass me. That's somebody that you can be intimate with, isn't it? Somebody that's not going to put you down, that's going to be there and never, put you on notice or put you out there. That's a violation of confidentiality. And you know, that's really an important thing. And, it's really hard to find people that you can trust to that level in which you don't think that they're going to expand or they're going to make light of your situation. I have people like that in my life that I trust because I know that they're not going to do that. And that's really important. Fourthly, self-orientation refers to the person's focus. In particular, whether the person's focus is primarily on him or herself or on the other person. We might say, I can't trust him on this deal. I don't think he cares enough about me. He's focused on what he gets out of it. Have you ever had anybody like that in your life? Or in a negotiation where you know that it's not a win-win, that they're in it for them. I know you know what I'm talking about. And it's pretty easy. It's pretty easy to spot it, isn't it? More commonly, I don't trust him. I think he's too concerned about how he's appearing, so he's not really paying attention. I've had that too. Have you? You're listening to The Sue Free Show on our flagship station, KKLA 99.5. Definition of dependability. Scripture equates dependability with faithfulness. The Greek word for faithful means trustworthy, true, reliable, and sure. A project that requires unexpected sacrifice to finish the job provides a real test of faithfulness. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not shall never be moved. That's Psalm 15:4-5. The importance of dependability. All believers should want their lives characterized by dependability. The Lord Jesus will use this quality to evaluate our work for him. Well done, good and faithful servant. It is also the one quality that God requires of those to whom he will entrust his resources and the quality that will win a crown for eternity. It is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. That's 1 Corinthians 4:2. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Revelation 2:10. Some more characteristics, since I did some studies. Characteristics of dependability. A dependable person will be in harmony with the heart and mind of God. I will raise me up a faithful priest that shall do according to that which in mine heart and in my mind. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thought than your thoughts. Isaiah 55:8-9. A dependable person demonstrates faithfulness in little things as well as big things. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. A dependable person has a heart attitude of faithfulness. You, the Lord, found his, Abraham's, heart faithful to you, and you made a covenant with him. A dependable person keeps confidential information private. A gossip betrays a confidence, but a trustworthy man keeps a secret. Isn't that good? Gossip can be such a hurtful thing, can't it? And it spreads so fast, you can't stop it. So it's better not to start it, isn't it? A dependable person communicates energy and health. A wicked messenger falleth into mischief, but a faithful ambassador is health. A dependable person is truthful in all he says. A faithful witness will not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. Proverbs 14:5. My mother taught me something once a long time ago, and I can tell you a little story, and I think it's kind of cute. My mom is not with us anymore, and I miss her so much, and her birthday just happened, and so I just love her so much. But anyway, she said, you know, Sue, the problem with lying is that when you tell a lie, you have to keep telling other lies to keep up with the first lie. It's so much easier to tell the truth, because when you tell the truth, you don't have to think about it. You know it's the truth, and it stays the truth forever and whatnot. Well, one day, my mom, I was walking home, and my mom always told me, Susie, don't pick the flowers, because if you pick the flowers, there won't be any flowers left for those that come behind you. And it's beautiful for everyone. But if you take the flower, then there's no beauty left for those that follow you. And I thought that was good advice. But, you know, this one day, I was walking, and I decided that my mother needed a flower. And yeah, I was getting a flower from my mom. And so I went up, and I picked a flower. Yeah, I picked it. And there was a bee on the stem that I did not see. And I got stung by a bee, and I started running, screaming, because it hurt so bad. And I get home, and I'm like, uh-oh, I have to tell my mom. And so my mom looks at me, because I still had the flower in my hand. The bee wasn't there. The stinger was in my finger, but the flower was gone. No, I still had the flower in my hand. That's right. And my mother looks at me with her loving eyes and her calm spirit. I just loved her so much. And she says, Susie, did you pick this flower? I said, Mom, it was on the ground. It was on the ground. I didn't pick it. It was on the ground. And, you know, I am, never mind how old I am, but I still remember telling my mother that. We will say fib, but it's really a lie, isn't it? It's a lie. I told my mom a lie. She knew, right? She could see right through me. She knew I lied. But it was really difficult for her as a mother, because here's this little girl crying up that already got hurt, and you want to kiss those hurts away when you have a little kid, right? Your baby is your baby, always your baby, and you want to kiss those little hurts goodbye. And here, this little baby was picking a flower for her, and I got stung. So she was really in a dilemma on what lesson she wanted to teach me. And isn't that funny? And that's how life goes, isn't it? Is that, but she said, Susie, she told me the lie story. And she also said, honey, thank you so much for trying to bring me some colorful beauty for the day and cheer me up today. And I just really appreciate it. But I just thought about that when I thought about truthful ways, because, you know, it is much easier to tell the truth than it is to lie. And sometimes we just don't want the reverb, right? We don't want what's going to happen when we tell the truth. But you know what? It's so much easier in the long run. And those that have done it and they know that they've had to remember story and try to keep the story going, understand what I'm saying right now, don't you? So let's just make a decision today that from now on, we're going to tell the truth. Okay? Is that okay with you? You're listening to The Sue Free Show on our flagship station, 99.5 KKLA. I'm going to read one more thing on the sheet, if I can get my eyes to focus. A dependable person will not tell people how good he is. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find. Isn't that good? So do you have a better understanding of what dependable is? I've got more and more pages of dependability here, and rewards of dependability. Let's talk about rewards. Are there rewards for being dependable? I think so. I want people to think that Sue Freeze is dependable. How about you? Do you want people to say about you that you're dependable, that when someone has a need, that you're there and that they can depend on you? I think that's a really, really important thing. And if you're not one of those people, if you're late to a date, if you have an appointment and you're not there on time, you are not a dependable person. Don't shoot the messenger. But you can change this right now, can't you? You can change it, and you can change this. That's what the beauty of life is that what was, was. But what is, is. But what will be, you have a choice on. So you can change anything you want to change right now. If it's within your power, you can change it right now. And even if it's this, this is huge. It might seem little. You know, what's 5 minutes, right? But 5 minutes is telling the person that either they're not important enough for you to show up on time, or that person's thinking in their minds that you're not dependable. I have somebody very close to me that would always show up 15 to half hour late. So what I started doing is fixing it. I would just tell her that the meeting or wherever we needed to go was 30 minutes earlier than what it was. So now, guess what? She's dependable. But she doesn't know she's dependable because she still thinks she's running late. But she's right on time now. But it was my doing that caused her to be right on time. I know, you're laughing. Is it you? Which side are you on? Are you the one that's changing the time or are you the one that's just running late? Rewards of dependability. A dependable person will raise up a spiritual lineage of faithful descendants, and I will raise me up a faithful priest that shall do according to that which in mine heart and in my mind, and I will build him a sure house, and he shall walk before mine anointed forever. A dependable person will be given greater responsibilities. A dependable person will be protected by the Lord. A dependable person will be given a crown of life. What's the motivation for dependability? Dependability means coming through for the people who count on us. Several factors should motivate us to such dependability. The first and greatest motivation should be realizing that what we do to benefit others, we are actually doing for the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus explained this by saying, "Inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me." So think about that. Whatever you do, you're doing it for the person or to the person, but you're also doing it to or for the Lord. Very, very, very good. The source of power for dependability. Even though God and others expect us to be dependable, God knows that our ability to demonstrate such a quality does not reside within us. Our strength must come from Him. Our dependability is direct, related to our dependence on God's ability. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthen me, Philippians 4:13. Remember that one. That's a really good one. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things, not some things, all things through Christ, which strengthen me. It is through His faithfulness to us that we can be faithful to others. But how do we tap into His faithfulness? Paul explains the process in his letters of the first century church. He discovered that the power of Christ is available only to those who acknowledge their weakness before Him. The first expression of weakness is crying out to Him for salvation. The next is crying out to Him in daily dependence upon Him. Paul learned how to translate trials and tribulations into reminders of his own weakness and of Christ's sufficiency. These reminders were so important to Paul that he gloried in them by thanking God for them and seeing potential benefits in and through them. Paul showed dependability to the end of his ministry and explained the secret of his faithfulness. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. 2 Corinthians 12:10. You've been listening to The Sue Free Show, and we'll be back after this quick break.
They're called the stealth bugs of the insect world, termites, every homeowner's nightmare. But a lot of KKLA listeners don't lose a moment of sleep over termites because of Ecola Termite and Pest Control. They are California's leading ecological alternative termite control company. You see, Ecola gets rid of termites by using family-friendly, poison-free alternatives, like Electrogun, that seeks out and eliminates the little rascals, microwave process for small areas, and their new Ecola Heat using clean, hot air for entire walls. No embarrassing circus tent over your home. No poison gas, no bagging your food, or moving out for a couple of days. Ecola Termite and Pest Control gets rid of termites effectively and quickly. So, call Ecola at 877-332-BUGS. 877-332-BUGS. Ecola, powerful termite and pest control as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their 2-year warranty. Call 877-332-BUGS. You're listening to The Sue Free Show.
Thank you so much, Ecola, for allowing us to be on the air today and to talk about dependability, reliability, trust. I'm hoping, listener, that you can depend on Ecola, that you can rely on Ecola and you can trust Ecola to take care of your termite and pest control needs. And I really, 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 if you don't have a pest control or a termite company, please don't hesitate to give us a call. We want to be your first choice, but if we can't be your first choice, let Ecola be your second opinion. I just want to educate. I want you to know that you have options out there. And if you can, look up Sue Freeze, spelt like fries, one word, .com, and you can go to podcast after podcast about different subject matters, different things that I talk about each week. There's something in there for everyone. Also, there is a way you could purchase Learning to Breathe. It's a book that I just published, and it's about asthma, indoor air quality. It's really an important read and a great present. So if you can, just look up that Sue Freeze, spelled like fries, one word.com, and see all that's there. There's so much there for you to partake in. So we were talking about dependability, reliability, trust, and intimacy. And a long time ago, I learned about intimacy, and somebody said to me that intimacy is in to me see. Isn't that good? Because people don't, you know, especially men, they think romance, I'm sorry, guys, but I'm pointing you out here. I'm calling you out. Is that, you know, people think that romance equals sex. And intimacy is the same thing as this or that. But they're all different. And they're all so important to the full picture of relationship. In marriage, of course. Relationship, okay? And, you know, not only in marriage, because intimacy could be sister to sister. It could be mother to daughter. It can be in any relationship when you really are allowed. Don't you feel the best when you can expose and be vulnerable and the person that you're doing it with, you feel safe with, and you know that they're not going to hurt you, that you can depend on them, you can rely on them, and you can trust them. And then you can really be intimate. You can get down, you can get dirty, you can get in there. And you know what? It's okay. You're not going to be judged, you're going to be loved. And isn't that what Jesus wants for us? Doesn't he want us to feel the fullness of love? God's love. It's so much different than our love. But if we can be like God and we can be like Jesus and we can be there for each other, what a wonderful world this could be. Isn't that true? How dependable are you? When you give your word to do something, can others always count on you to do it, even if it's more difficult than you expected? We could grade you from 1 to 10 if you want, or 1 to 5, but I just want you to ask yourself this question because, like I said before the break, is that you have an option, you have a choice now, is that once we call it out and we say, you know, we can look at ourselves in the mirror, right? We have to focus on us and look in the person in the mirror, and if there's something we can do better today than we were, if we can be better today than we were yesterday, isn't that a good thing? So ask yourself that question. How dependable are you? When you give your word, is your word your word? If you experience unexpected difficulties, do you use them as excuses for not finishing a task? For instance, like the person that promised that they could be there for me, to take me to my surgery, and then forgot that they had something else they had to do, so therefore they counted out on mine. Okay, is that you? Do you picture the things you do for others as actually serving Jesus Christ? Do you? Can your service providers depend on you to pay your bills promptly? Oh, there's one. Okay. Do you put them on hold? Are you 30 days, 60 days, 90 days past due? Okay. That's not being a person of your word, is it? That's not dependable. Can members of your family count on you to turn down other opportunities in order to be with them for special events? This just happened with my daughter, and it just made me cry. Because just recently I called her up, I texted her. Somehow I was using Siri because I had to learn how to use my phone now because I can't see my phone. So I actually have to talk into my phone. The problem with that is because I can't see, I don't know what Siri is hearing and what's typing. And one time it said that I had 2 cups of coffee and 2 billionaires. That's what it said in my text to my daughter. And I'm like, what? She laughed so hard. And I thought that was so funny. But she came over one day, and I wasn't expecting her, but she came over because I had texted her and said that I had a cup of coffee and 2 billionaires or something, and because Siri was interpreting what I was saying. Anyway, she shows up at my door, and she sits there, and she goes, Mom, can I make you some food? You know, do you have any food in the house and whatnot? And then she's sitting at the table, and come to find out, she had an offer to go hunting. Now, I could not shoot an animal, no way. But she got offered to go, and it was somebody she really wanted to spend time with. But she chose to spend time with me, and I'm going to cry. Because I felt what a sacrifice that was for her to come and babysit mom when she could have gone hunting with this guy she likes. And I'm thinking, wow. And I looked at her, and I said, wow, you did that for me? And I was so touched by that. Because that was a sacrifice. You know, I'm sure that going hunting would have been a lot more fun than taking care of mom. But for that, I'm grateful. I'm so thankful that she was there and she's dependable and she, you know, she did that. Do you graciously but firmly decline invitations that will distract you from carrying out your responsibilities? I mean, do we decide that we're going to do this, but until something else comes along that's better and more fun? Is that you? Are you one of those? Okay. So here's the thing. I'm asking you to call yourself out, all right? Just do an assessment of yourself. What would people say about you? And based on what you find out about yourself there and those questions and your answers, you have a choice. Are you the person you want to be for those that you love and for Jesus? Or could you do a better job? And if you can do a better job, I suggest you do it. And now, what better time than right now? You're listening to The Sue Free Show on our flagship station, KKLA 99.5, and I'm so thankful that you're here with me today. I'm going to read out of a book right now that I do almost every single time. And it's amazing every time because it just goes along with what I'm talking about. And this is a message for you. Yes, you. And I want you to hear this and really take it in because this is really a good message. And my eyes are having trouble focusing, and I apologize. My sight is not what I want. I want it to get better like quick. So if you're in a praying mood, could you pray for the healing of my eyes so I can see with both eyes? I would really appreciate that. This is a time of abundance in your life. Your cup runneth over with blessings. After plodding uphill for many weeks, you are now traipsing through lush meadows drenched in warm sunshine. I want you to enjoy to the full this time of ease and refreshment. I delight in providing it for you. Sometimes my children hesitate to receive my good gifts with open hands. Feelings of false guilt creep in, telling them they don't deserve to be so richly blessed. This is nonsense thinking because no one deserves anything from me. My kingdom is not about earning and deserving. It's about believing and receiving. Isn't that good? I'll accept that. How about you? You going to receive that? When a child of mine balks at accepting my gifts, I am deeply grieved. When you receive my abundant blessings with a grateful heart, I rejoice. My pleasure in giving and your pleasure in receiving flow together in joyous harmony. Isn't that beautiful? I'm receiving that one. How about you? I have a little challenge for you, and it's a little side note, and I just want you to connect with me on this, okay? I want to ask you a question, and I want you to connect with me on Sue Free's, spelt like fries, one word, .com. Anyway, so Sue Free, spelt like fries, one word, .com. And what I want you to do is I want you to write what you feel the most important things are in choosing your mate. Right? We have non-negotiables. We have things that are non-negotiable. Like, you know, if you don't smoke and you don't like cigarette smoke, then obviously you don't want to mate or be with a person that smokes. Okay, let's just say that. Or if you're not a cusser, if you don't like cussing and cussing really bothers your ears, you don't want to be with somebody that uses those types of words. So whatever your non-negotiables are, maybe it has to be a believer, or you have to be able to trust him, I'm hoping, and you have to be able to depend on him, I'm hoping, and you have to rely on him, I'm hoping, and you want to be intimate with this person, whether it's he or she, I was saying him, but he or she. You want to be able to trust, you want to have intimacy, you want to feel safe with that person. I want to know what the most important things are. How do you know when you found Mr. or Mrs. Wright? How do you know? I have a gentleman that works for me that's getting married. And I asked him that question because I know there's a lot of single people out there and they're second guessing and third guessing and, you know, not sure, not sure, not sure. And there's little tiny things coming up and not sure if this is the right one, you know. And what he said to me is, he says, you know, I've dated quite a few people and I'd been infatuated and I was all excited for like 2 months, and then it would die down because they were either good looking or they had a good job or they were really fun or something. But then that would die out and it wasn't enough to sustain the relationship. And so I realized through lots of, he didn't say this, but frogs, a lot of people that weren't right for him, that this one that he is now marrying, it's really easy, it's peaceful, it feels really good. He's smiling all the time. And he says, you know that old saying where when it's right, you know it's right? He goes, that sounds so weird to say, but I just knew it was right. When it's right, it's right. He goes, I just know that this is right. And it feels really good. And they've been dating for a long time and he just feels like it's right, you know? And so maybe that's it. I don't know. But I have a lot of people really close to me right now that are single. And they really, really desire to be married. They desire to have that intimate relationship that only a marriage can fulfill. They, you know, most of them want to have children. And so they want to know who would be the right mate for having children, which that's a huge endeavor. It's not small. It's huge. I take it from my mom. Anyway, I want you to tell me. I want you to write in to Sue Freeze, spell like fries, oneword.com, and I want you to tell me what you believe is the answer. I'm going to read to you right now, Marriage Is, and I read this at another show and people liked it so much, I'm going to read it again because I want you to hear this. Marriage Is, it's from a card that I got a long time ago and I really love this. A relationship where two people must listen, compromise, and respect. It's an arrangement that requires a multitude of decisions to be made together. Listening, respecting, and compromising go a long way toward keeping peace and harmony. We want that, don't we? Don't we want peace and harmony? A union in which two people learn from their mistakes, accept each other's faults, and willingly adjust behaviors that need to be changed. It's caring enough about each other to work through disappointing and hurtful times and believing in the love that brought you together in the first place. Patience and forgiveness. It's being open and honest, thoughtful and kind. Marriage means talking things out, making necessary changes, and forgiving each other. It's unconditional love at its most understanding and vulnerable. Love that supports, comforts, and is determined to triumph over every challenge and adversity. Marriage is a partnership of two unique people who bring out the very best in each other, and who know that even though they are wonderful as individuals, they are even better together. Now, I'm going to put my vote on this one because I think these are really important aspects to marriage. And there's so much in those words, you know, taking responsibility for yours. You know, what is your part in this picture? And what can you do to make a change that's going to help the other person? To seek to understand more than to be understood. To me, that's huge. Putting the other person before yourself. Saying you're sorry when you need to say you're sorry, doggone it. I mean, how hard is that? It's really not that hard, is it? To say you're sorry and mean it? But there's a lot of people out there that really have a hard time just saying they're sorry. So I want to hear from you. I want to know what you think it takes and what, you know, how do you know when you found Mr. Right and Mrs. Right? And what, if you have a checkoff list, what's on that list? What are the most important things for you? I really want to hear from you. So please, please, please share. Would you do that? I would love it. So dependability, we're still talking about. It's a character of dependability working in you. Is it? How do I exhibit dependability in my daily life? How do you exhibit it? What can I do to develop a better attitude of being dependable? Make a choice, I guess. You know, you just need to make a choice to be dependable and then just do it. What blocks me from being dependable? You know, excuses can block you from being dependable, can't they? You can make excuses all day long. I got people that are the best excuse makers there is. But they're not very dependable, are they? They're dependable with excuses. I can always count on them to have an excuse. How can I make dependability function better, stronger, faster, even in times of uncertainty and stress? Dependable is being constantly reliable and trustworthy. It will allow us to continue in our commitments, even if it means personal sacrifice. This will allow others to build trust in us and point to the one who they can put the most important trust in, Christ as Lord. Unreliable and unpredictable are the opposites. This can range from constantly being late and holding others up, to having a personality that is unpredictable, that others do not know how to relate and respond to you. What are the things that cause you to be unreliable? How does being untrustworthy counteract dependability? Good question. I just want you to think a little bit, you know, in each one of these, you'd have to like stop this radio show, or you need to write it down or something, because I really, each one of these are thought provoking, aren't they? And you need to have the thought provoked, because we want to make changes that are going to make our relationships better. And our relationships become better when we do the work. We do our work. Focus on the man or the woman in the mirror. Michael Jackson song, I think. But when we do that, our whole relationship could change. You know, people come to me and they want me to counsel them about marriage. And what I say to them is that you cannot change the other individual. You married this person. And a lot of the times they say in counseling, we wore them out, but another story for another day. But in counseling, they'll say that the very things that attracted you to your spouse are the things that annoy you the most now as you go on in your relationship. And that's very interesting, but very common. So we have to remember those things that were exciting and attractive to us, and remember those things and cherish them and adore them like we did before. And if we can't, we need to change those up and figure out, have we changed? You know, what happened to cause this change in our thought process and our belief system? But you really cannot change another person. But you can change yourself. And what I tell people all the time, I've got people that'll say, you know, I really don't think this is ever going to work. I've tried everything and it's not going to work. I just need to leave. And I tell people, are you perfect? And they'll say, obviously, no, they're not perfect. Are there still things in your life that you could work on and change that would make you a better person? Because when you leave, if you leave this relationship, you're taking you with you. Good point, huh? And if you're going to take you with you, you're taking these issues with you. And wouldn't it be better for you to stay in this relationship, work on the issues, get as good as you can get, and understand you as well as you can understand you, because we're always changing. There's stuff that always comes up and going, wow, where'd that come from, right? But if we can work on us, if we can work on us and be the best us or you that you can be, then if you still feel that you've done it all and you know, whatever, then you would be a better person to walk into another situation. But why not work on it now and get it fixed now? Because what if the changes that you make within you can make the relationship survive, and not only survive, but thrive? And wouldn't it be better to keep that marriage alive and keep that relationship alive and keep that family, if you have a family, together than to split it up, which is tearing of the flesh? Wouldn't it be better to do the work now? If you're going to have to do it sometime, why not now? You know? So let's not put this, let's not look at the speck in the other person's eye. Let's look at the log in our own, is biblical. And let's focus on what we can do to change us. And when we do that, I guarantee you, the changes that you make, you're going to be a better person and you're going to like you better. And isn't that better to go forward with a better person that you like better? I think so. So that would be the advice that I would give you or anyone else that would come to me, is do the work, right? And it's not easy. You know, have you ever heard that old term, no pain, no gain? You know, I always think about the refrigerator, and I'll say, a moment on the lips, a lifetime on the hips. And then I ask myself, is it worth it? And I always ask that, you know, chocolate cake. I'll ask people when they're eating it, you know, how good is it from 1 to 10? How good is it? Because I want to know if I want to take that bite or not. Okay, or do I want to have a little sliver, or do I want to have a huge piece? And those are decisions that we make every minute of every day, aren't they? You know, and is the pain worth the gain? You know, count the costs. What's the cost? And if you do this before you go into it, you're going to be a better person and you're going to understand more about what you're getting into. I have another thing I want to share, and it's from C.S. Lewis, The Four Loves. To love at all is to be vulnerable. I don't know about you, but you know what? When we love, it is a vulnerable state, but they say it's better to have loved and lost than never to have loved at all. I had a lady on my show, a widow, and she might be listening right now. And if you are, Dottie, thank you so much for listening again. And she was married 60 years, and she called because she was just so sad and so lonely because her husband had died and gone to heaven before her, which a lot of times that's the way it is. The man usually gets up there before we do, women. And she was so sad because they'd lived such a wonderful life together. And in her tears and her sadness, I was thinking, wow, she was so blessed. So I asked her, I said, you know, what are the things that you would tell other married people? Because she had something for all those years that other women would want for, I mean, they would love it for a day, a week, a year. But this woman had this for 60 years. What a blessing. And I said, what is the secret? I want to know the secret. Do you want to know the secret? To say I love you as often as I can. This is the agreement they had together. To say I love you as often as I can. To say thank you all the time. To say thank you. To give thanks in all things. To say thank you. And the last thing she said is to say sorry when you need to. Isn't that simple? I love to keep it simple, sister. And that was so simple, but so true. So Dottie, thank you for sharing that. Love anything and your heart will certainly be wrung and possibly be broken. If you want to make sure of keeping it intact, you must give your heart to no one, not even to an animal. Wrap it carefully round with hobbies and little luxuries. Avoid all entanglements. Lock it up safe in the casket or coffin of your selfishness. But in that casket, safe, dark, motionless, airless, it will change. It will not be broken. It will become unbreakable, impenetrable, irredeemable, the alternative to tragedy, or at least to the risk of tragedy, is damnation. The only place outside heaven where you can be perfectly safe from all the dangers and perturbations of love is hell. And again, that was C.S. Lewis, The Four Loves. You get what he's saying? He's saying, you know, you can hold on so tight that you never experience what God wants us to experience all the time. And that's love. And I want you to experience the fullness of love too. But what that means is that, you know, when you are dating, if you're single and you're trying to get in, you know, find, you're interviewing for a position, and this is a huge position, the person that you're going to spend the rest of your life with. So understand, when you're dating, you're interviewing. And so are they. And you want to make sure that you get all of that out in the open. You don't want to leave anything undone. So please ask those questions, interview, and you know what? But you know what? Don't be so safe that you never experience what God wants you to experience. Be vulnerable, be transparent, and love. Until next week, I'm asking you to reach out to me, SueFreeze.com. Okay? Please reach out to me and let me know what you think are the most important checkoff list items for knowing who Mr. and Mrs. Right is. Okay? Thank you so much. God bless.
You're forgiven and loved. Child, you're forgiven and loved. Child, you're forgiven and child, you are loved. Child, you're forgiven and loved.
The Sue Freeze Show is sponsored by Ecola Termite and Pest Control Services.
Ah, it's that time of the year when bugs multiply like crazy and start looking for a home, your home. Ants, spiders, fleas, earwigs, termites, and a lot of other creepy crawly critters, even rats and other varmints. It's time to call Ecola Termite and Pest Control Services. They offer complete ecological pest control of rodents and insects. Ecola has one-time services, ongoing monthly services, their most popular and economical every other month service, and even quarterly service for occasional pest problems. Ecola keeps rats and mice out and eliminates insects in their nests. It's the most effective way, and their termite control is legendary. So call Ecola today for a free estimate of complete pest control at 877-332-BUGS. No more creepy crawly critters like ants, spiders, fleas, earwigs, termites, rats, and other pests. Call them at 877-332-BUGS, 877-332-BUGS. Ecola, powerful pest control services as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their 2-year warranty. Call 877-332-BUGS.